in the kitchen of intrigue. Kurt Jackson and Chris Kellel are cooking up a batch of mystery soup.
Each episode serves a new blend of tips, tactics, trends, and tales from the business and design sides of the escape room world.
So grab your spoon, because this episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
Mystery Soup.
Welcome to the Mystery Soup Podcast, a podcast all about the business and design side of escape rooms. My name is Kurt. Woo. And with me is my co-host, Chris. Hi, Chris.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy. So this is the first episode of this podcast, and we're both really excited about it. We come from, oddly enough, we come from a summer camp background. In fact, Chris is still executive director of a summer camp. And we fell in love with escape rooms, a few years ago?
Yeah,
we're late coming to it.
Yeah. You spend all that extra money I make as a camp director on escape rooms. So.
Right. I feel like we talk to people who are enthusiasts or owners, and they're like, yeah, I did my first escape room in 2015. And I'm like, wow. Okay.
Wait, is there an official, when did they come to the U.S.? Like, they were more in Europe originally.
2014, I think.
I feel like, 2014, 2015. Yeah. And my first room was... It was after 2020, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So when I came up you in Illinois. Yep. Which I am originally from Southern California. And now I'm in Florida. And you were in Illinois, Indiana. And now we're in Indiana. Yeah.
Originally from Illinois, but now Indiana.
Yeah. There you go.
I am a Hoosier. Which I don't know what that means, but that's what I am now.
Anyway, so we decided that these first couple episodes would be getting to know us and our passion for escape rooms, where that came from. And so Chris will interview me for this episode, and I'll interview him for the next episode. And if you're like, I don't care about you knuckleheads, then skip to episode 3 and go from there.
Skip 1 and 2. And maybe just skip 1. 2 is pretty good because it's about me.
So, so the idea is we're going to be interviewing owners of escape rooms, game masters, designers, and even have some enthusiasts on to give us their perspective on what they like in an escape room business and seeing their side of it.
We need at least one newbie, one person that maybe they just did their first escape room.
Oh, that would be good.
Afterwards.
So I don't know any of those people, but yeah.
I don't either. Not anymore.
There's plenty out there. Yeah. All right. I will let you take it from here.
Definitely. Kurt, tell me. It's about the escape room, so tell me about your first escape room.
So I was interested in the whole concept of it, and I've seen YouTube videos and stuff, and I thought, oh, escape rooms look cool. But I had recently moved to Florida and didn't know anybody here. And I was on meetup.com, and I'm trying to meet people. And I said, I wonder if there's any escape room meetups. So I bring it up, and sure enough, there was.
Is that an escape room Tinder?
No, please don't. Can you imagine if there's
have that? Maybe we should start that.
So I went to the first one, and my first room was called The Dig, and it was at Dare to Escape in Kissimmee, Florida, which is, they no longer have The Dig.
I was just about to ask, is it still there?
Nope. But Dare to Escape is, but not The Dig. Yeah. And it was, so I guess... It wasn't, they don't do public rooms, but because you're at a meetup group with all these people who you don't know, it felt like a public room, right? Which is fine though, because I'm not going to, I didn't want to solo a room. So I just had no clue what I was doing as these people were solving puzzles, and I looked around and tried to get into it. And I was like, I like the escape room concept, but. Mm-hmm. This experience, not the greatest, because I don't know who these people are. Anyway, so we did a couple of rooms there, and that was my first experience.
Do you remember what the theme was? Is it
It's like an archaeological dig. Yeah. So there was sand all in the second room that you had to dig into. And I was like, wow. But the room itself, these two rooms were really small. And there was only four of us in there, I think. But it felt really small.
The name, the dig. You had to dig.
You had to dig. But it was like a big kitty litter.
Now, do you remember when this was?
No, it was. Hold on. What's this? And it's funny because I always hear people go, oh, this was 2000 this or 19 this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you remember even the years?
I cannot.
But it was.
I can't even keep things in order.
Yeah, it was pre-COVID.
Alone what year?
So I guess 2019 probably. Yeah.
And then Gen 1 room, or did they have lots of tech?
Oh, no, it was definitely Gen 1 room. It was definitely Gen 1 room. Yeah, I don't, in fact, I, maybe they had some tech because I think, couple, but most of theirs, yeah, definitely lots of locks, which is fine with me.
That's the kind I like. Yeah, I prefer that. So I'm with you on that. Awesome. And then from there on, you met your partner in crime somewhere, meeting Tina. How did that start?
So that was the second meetup that I went to. And I will say that.
Second escape room?
No, because we did, I did a couple of escape rooms at Dare to Escape that day. And so then they were having another meetup at Daytona Escape Rooms. And I went there and there was like 12 of us. And for some reason, they decided we're all going to do one room. And we did this pirate.
It's way too many.
Way too many. We did this pirate room called the Black Jewel, and it was only one room. And you start off handcuffed. So they had to get handcuffs for everybody, where normally it's like four people. And so they handcuff you to something in the room. So everybody's handcuffed to something in this room, and the people, I don't want to give spoilers away, but there are people that need to escape first in order to uncuff everybody else. I was right next to Tina, had not met her before, and we were just talking about how ridiculous this, why did we not do like multiple rooms? Why are we all in this one room? And while people are solving stuff, like there's no real communication. There's just too much going on. And you're like, oh, what are they doing over there? Oh, what are they doing over there? And so afterwards, I was like, I don't like this. We played another room after that, but I was like, I don't like this kind of all these people in one room. I'd rather have just maybe two to four people. And so I couldn't remember Tina's name, but as everybody was leaving, she was in the parking lot, and I remember where she was from, Lake Mary. And I said, hey, Lake Mary. And she turned, I said, because I felt like she was, I don't want to say normal ones, but she's the one that maybe I had some kind of connection
with. Yeah, I would never, we should never call Tina normal. It's crazy.
And so I was like, do you ever want to do a room? And it wasn't anything like, I didn't want to go on a date or anything. I was just like, do you want to do a room sometime? Because this is too much. And she said, sure. We exchanged numbers. She called me and we started doing escape rooms. We just did rooms.
God.
We did rooms. There was nothing like romantic or anything. And then I came to see you. And
then we did rooms.
And then we did rooms.
I was never handcuffed to you, unfortunately.
I just traveled the country finding people who'll do rooms with me. So we did rooms. We built the room, or at least started. Camp. You finished it, but at your camp. And then as I was going back to Florida, she texted me or called me and said, hey, guess what? I just bought an escape room. And I was like, what? And I said, hey, do you want a game master? Because I was working online, but I have time to do something fun like that. She said, sure. And I started working there, loved kind of the whole working at an escape room. And about 6 months later, we started dating.
And so how, you've done a lot of rooms together now.
We've done a lot of rooms together. Most of the rooms I've done has been with her. So
yeah.
Yeah. And she's done about 50 more than me. I'm at Right now, I am at 441. Oh, wow. And so she'd be at like 491, 492.
Oh, her big 500's coming up.
I know.
Do you have a special room planned?
Don't. So we have to figure that one out.
I feel like there's probably one in Indiana.
I don't know if there is.
I think you just come on up here. So then you start working as an escape room master.
Yep, as a game master.
Game master. And where was that at?
That was at the Escape Hatch in Kissimmee.
Oh, yeah. Nice little area there.
I mean, it's right at Fun Spots, if people are familiar with it.
Did you like most of the rooms at Escape Hatch?
So they had two rooms when I started. And yeah, they're good rooms. One was Gen 1 completely. There was no tech in that room. And the other one had some tech, but not a lot, not much. And then we built two more. And the fourth one was really one I enjoyed the most.
I remember you would call and give me updates on that fourth one all the time. Be like, here's where we're at. Got any ideas how to get a top hat to fly off the top of a shelf?
Right, that's right. And then we walked you and carry through it to
yes,
play
it. Yes, we got virtually to play it online.
Right.
Which is really hard to do. Let me tell you. It was cool.
With a phone. Okay, we're going over here now.
I think I was worse when I walked you through, because I don't like to game master. I am way more of a, like, I give way too many hints. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I walked you through my room at camp on a phone, where I wanted you to go, I would actually aim the phone that way. Right. I think you want to go over here, Kurt. And I'd turn the phone.
Okay, Chris, we will go over to that bench and look at it. That's right. Obviously, there must that's be what something we're supposed there. To do.
That's too funny. But yeah, so four rooms you guys ended up with there. Five-ish if you count the Christmas run, right?
Yeah, the kind of the pop-up room.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very cool. Yeah. And then what happened after the hatch? Because you're not at the hatch anymore.
No, so Tina had a business partner for that business, and he worked for Universal Studios. But of course, COVID, there was a bunch of layoffs, but he's one of the CAD designers for different set designs and that type of thing. He does design something. They say, hey, design this. He designs it on the computer and everything else. And then somebody else builds it. And then Epic Universe? They're calling it.
That's the new one.
The new one. So they asked him to come back. So we were thinking, okay, we want to go on this big RV trip around the country. That was something we really wanted to do. But Tina was wondering, do I buy out my partner or do we just sell it completely? And the big thing was, if she buys out the partner, then we had to find a really good manager, because nobody wants to be in California, get the call that something's broken and we need you back here. And then you had to fly back over there. And we just didn't have the time to do that. And so we decided, let's just go ahead and sell. So sold that, which helped pay for our trip, which was last year, 2023. Got this fifth wheel that was just about 40 feet. And I don't know how to pull this thing, but Tina was like, we had to have a washer dryer. That was her big thing. We had to have a washer dryer. We also wanted office space. And so we found a Momentum that had the garage and got that. It was too big. We should have gotten something much smaller. We were moving on average every 3 or 4 days, going somewhere new. And I thought, man, I have to pull this thing. And that was, you had to set it up. You had to tear it down everywhere you go. And so you get a little bit of anxiety from driving, especially when it's like the side streets. Once you're on the freeway, you're fine. But when you have to make turns and go down little side streets and stuff, I'm just glad it's over. It was an awesome experience, but
You didn't drive it downtown Milwaukee, did you, when we met you?
No, we'd go to the campground and then just with the truck, we would go to different places. But we did, I guess we played escape rooms in 46 states. We missed the Dakotas.
But you stayed in how many states?
Less, maybe 36. Yeah. We had these maps, these sticker maps on the fifth wheel. One was just for escape rooms on the slide out. Yeah. One was just for escape rooms. One was for where we stayed at least one night at a campground. And that map definitely had less stickers. Yeah. The escape room map was almost full. So we did hit Canada on this trip too, in Vancouver and the Ontario, Toronto area. So
it's an international
baby. Whoop, whoop.
So you went on this trip. How long was this trip for?
So the trip was 8 months.
Good night.
We were gone for 8 months and we played 282 games.
Did you go back in the middle? You didn't. You just went all the way around for 8 months, right? You did some of the East Coast first, right?
No, we went to
Florida.
We went Florida, then south.
But west, you didn't go back to Florida intermission-wise. Like, literally, you spent 8 months on the road away from home.
Yes. So that's crazy. Of those 282 rooms, we only did one in Florida. Now, we had done 150 before that.
That's nuts. Anything else weird on your trip? Did you do anything like unique or fun or exciting?
Yeah, it wasn't just all escape rooms. We did do things like we went on a hot air balloon ride. We went whale watching. We did stuff. We went to theme parks. So we did do touristy stuff, but it was specifically.
I went to Niagara Falls. That was stupid. It was just a bunch of water.
Wow.
Anyway. We went on a cold, rainy December day. Like, I'm pretty sure that's the idea, or no, I guess it's November. Ideal time to go to Niagara Falls is at the beginning of November when it's cold and rainy and gross.
We also hit national parks along the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did different things.
So 282 rooms. Did you do anything fun? You had a little game you played with the rooms.
Oh, we did. So when I was working at the escape hatch, one of our game masters, shout out to Zach, he bought a bunch of tiny ducks. And these are tiny plastic. They're not the rubber duckies that will float. They sink, but they're tiny plastic ducks. And he started putting them all over the business. So you'd find in the hand sanitizer, there's a duck. You find on the ledge, there's a duck. But he was good. He never put them in a room or anything like that. And it was hilarious. And so I thought, this is going to be something that'll be fun to do as we travel. And so I started putting ducks in all the rooms that we did. I would just put it somewhere where the game master would find it during reset. Because you don't want the group to go in later and go, oh, tiny duck, what does this mean? Is it part of a puzzle? So we want to make sure that they found it. And sometimes I put it in a restroom or somewhere in the lobby. And so that just became a thing, is that we would leave little tiny ducks after we did rooms. I missed some rooms. I'd be so into the game that I forget. We'd leave and I said, oh, I forgot to leave a duck. But that became our thing. Yeah.
I remember we did a couple rooms with you in Champaign, Illinois, and you'd and you'd run and put a duck somewhere and run back real quick, at the game was over. And I'm like, that's funny.
That's true. I've had to sneak back in after we've left.
And you had another special thing you did that wasn't just tiny ducks. You had a little bit larger duck, right?
We had, we did have duck pins that we gave out, and it came with a little card. So you put the pin through the card and it said, you're ducking awesome. And I rarely gave those out, but every once in a while, if we had an exceptional game master who went above and beyond, or who did a really good acting job or something like that. And if I remembered, now there were some I missed, but I'd be like, oh, I want to give you something. And I said, you're ducking awesome. And I would give it to the game master. And that kind of became a thing as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they wouldn't, people wouldn't know that there was a dock until later. So if we played, say, three or four rooms at a place, we would wait to see if they were like, did you leave this here or what's the deal? And sometimes at the end, I would give that duck pin, you're ducking awesome. And the game master would be like, I knew it. You were the ones leaving the ducks. And I'm like, yeah, it's our thing. That's funny.
I think we did a room in Wisconsin together and somebody's like, you're the duck people.
We started getting a reputation.
Yes. Then at the end of the RV trip, you had duck awards, right?
Yeah. When we were in Wisconsin, we went to an arcade and we won this. Oh, we won tickets and decided to turn our tickets into to buy this huge, but it's like size of my hand, gold glitter duck. We thought, we're going to do the glitter duck awards. And so on our Facebook page, we gave awards to our favorite places for one reason or the other.
Mm-hmm. And like favorite lobbies or like best theme. I think you had one for favorite bathroom.
We did. So we had best t-shirt collection, best restrooms, best lobby, best tour we received. So we won things that were a little different, right? Mm-hmm. Most gracious owner, best
most likely to succeed.
We had a bunch of those, but we just called it the Glitter Duck Awards and posted it. Nobody got medals or anything. And we're not Terpeka, right? Nobody's, it's just our own little
nobody's listening.
Corner of the internet.
It's just Kurt and Tina.
Yeah, no one's posting this on their website. Yay, we got the Glitter Duck Award.
I would totally, it would be at the bottom of my page. Also awarded the Golden Duck Award. Right. Glitter Duck Award, that's fine. So what were some of your favorite rooms on the trip? The ones maybe that won the award.
I mean, yeah, there are rooms that we liked for just different reasons, right? It's always picking your favorite is so tough. And we had done others, like Servants of Slight wasn't on the trip, but that was like one of our absolute favorite rooms ever. But specifically for the trip, we had...
Has Tina done Servants of Slight?
Yes. Yes.
She must have done it. Did she do it before we did it together?
We went with, this was after you and I had done it.
Okay.
And she had done it before that, but then we went with a couple of our staff who had never done it, but they wanted to. And we were like, we'll go with you. We just want to watch kind of thing.
Yeah.
We'll participate a little bit, but it was so much fun. That's the only room I've done twice. Really enjoyed it. As far as favorite rooms, I will say like our number one favorite room, just because we were blown away. Somebody had mentioned it like, if you're going to go into Oklahoma City, then you've got to go to the Sanctuary. That was not on our original trip itinerary. Our original itinerary was just to go around, do a loop. We were not going to do any of the states in the middle, but we've changed that. So we go up into Oklahoma and we go to this place called Sanctuary, and it is so windy in Oklahoma. The whole time we were there, we're probably there for 4 days. It was just, the wind was so harsh. But we go to this place called the Sanctuary, and it's at an outlet mall. And right away you go into the lobby, and there's this big giant eyeball that is looking all around. And it feels like you're in this temple, this Mayan temple or something. It's really cool. So we do their rooms, but it was the Seat of Hope that was amazing. And it's for four people. We only had two. We tried to find two other people, but the owner at the end was like, listen, if you need help at some point, you're going to need assistance. I'm going to have the staff come in to help you. And we played all three of their rooms. And this room was amazing because it has eight separate areas, eight separate kind of rooms. Goodness. And it's a creepy room. You're paranormal investigators, And there are certain things that are done that I had never seen escape room. If they were on, say, if they were in LA or if they were on the coast somewhere, they'd be definitely on the Tribeca 100 for sure. But yeah, they're haunt builders. This is one thing we learned. Haunt builders know how to build rooms. Mm-hmm. So you look at them, you look at Netherworld, you look at 13th Gate. They know set design, which is really good. But other than that, there were definitely rooms that stood out, like Weeping Witch in Anaheim, California. It's not your room because you won't do scary rooms. Nope. But this, scary. Not only is this scary, but it's at times, right? Not all the way through. You're not being chased by anyone or anything like that. But it had
Isn't there a witch in it like the whole time?
Not the whole time.
Weeping? Sitting there crying?
Not the whole time.
Terrifying. Absolutely not. Oh my
goodness. We played an escape, like a scary.
I would be weeping the whole time.
You would. We played a scary room in North Carolina, Nocturne Adventures. And you are being chased, but it was so well done. When we first started this whole trip, we were like, okay, no scary rooms, no creepy rooms, nothing like that. We have since changed our minds. Like creepy, we really like. Because we've seen it done so well. Scary, but we have the scary rooms that we've done. We've really enjoyed, except with the exception of one. I thought it was because the puzzles are so weak. But yeah, we enjoy it. You should just give it a shot. You should give it a shot.
We did one room together that was scary, and that was enough.
What did we do?
The one in Peoria, that one that it wasn't scary. I guess it was creepy.
Oh, yeah, it was creepy. That was a bad experience.
We had to stab a vampire at the end, and I didn't even want to do that. Absolutely not going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. Chris, you're missing out, buddy. You're missing out.
I'm telling you, that's fine. I will miss.
I will say what we don't like, and this is Tina more than me. Tina does not like rooms where you have to engage with a live actor. She's an introvert. She doesn't want to have to improv with people. Now we've played games where a live actor will come in, like the Weeping Witch doesn't say anything to you. She comes in, she leaves. That's fine.
It's more terrifying.
We played a game in the basement in LA. There was one particular game. They had another game where there was an actor you had to engage with, and she was like, this just makes me feel uncomfortable because it is what it is. You had to improv. But this other one, the actor says something, but you don't have to verbally interact with them. And that was a blast. So we're different. A lot of people love that immersion, love the whole, I want an actor, I want to interact with them. That's just not our thing. So there are a lot of rooms that get a lot of acclaim and we'll be like,
not for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a game? What are some things you like then that you're looking for?
Good puzzles. Like Tina's a puzzle. She's better at puzzles than I am. I will do the tasks. I enjoy tasks. I like, we like linear games because we want to do the puzzles together and we want to see all the puzzles. Yeah. Yep. We want to see everything.
Me too.
But if it's non-linear, I really like, and I guess I'm going to say Servants of Slight is a great example. You have a room, you do the nonlinear puzzles, you break up and do them, but then you come together at the bottleneck, right? And you enter the next room. And then, okay, there's all these puzzles. You're not going back to the previous room. That's done. That You're set done. Is complete. You're moving, you've leveled up and you are in the next room. So you all do your own puzzles. There's plenty for people to do. And then you come together again, and after you're done, you move to the next room. Granted, at one point, you do have to go back for something really slight, really small.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of rooms I like. I know people are like, go back and forth is fun. Not for me. No. And I also, it's the whole experience. Like, I want a nice lobby. I want excellent staff, game master who's friendly, who knows when to give a nudge, a hint. So it's really the full experience. I want a good set design. I like a combination of tech and puzzle or locks as opposed to all tech or all locks. And there's exceptions. I've done rooms that have no tech, have been awesome. I've done rooms that are all tech, have been awesome. But I like that kind of that middle ground.
Yeah, the more I do it, I think the more I like the locks. I like to know
you do
for four numbers.
Right. You know what you do. And there is something about putting in the combination and then click, it opens. I will say there are things I don't like. I don't like it dark. Mm. That if you don't have a flashlight.
Huh? Yeah. Can't see. Too old for that. Can't see.
Seriously. It's
awful. Hate it.
Yeah. When I go to a place and they say, oh yeah, no lights because it breaks the ambiance and I can't see a lock. What? Yeah. You made this for young eyes that I cannot see. I'm a little older now. I don't care for crawling.
Did a crawling one. We had to crawl back and forth. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh,
and
that was...
there was gravel in the room. And so it got drug to the crawling space. So often you'd hit a piece of gravel. Oh, there goes my kneecap. Now I'm really old. Oh, I hated that room.
Every once in a while when there's a crawl space and it's padded nicely, I'm like, oh, this is nice. I appreciate this so much. It's nice and padded. So I don't like that. I don't like locks that are metal, especially when it's darker and you're using a flashlight and the light bounces off. I'm all about the fort locks where it's black background with white numbers or word locks or something like that. So locks are really important. And another thing I do like is a good hint system, like a character hint system or a creative hint system. There have been a few rooms that have like characters, whether it be a talking skeleton, a talking dummy, talking toaster, things like that, which I really like. But also when people are creative. So we did one room where you ask for a hint and it comes off of a printer and then the paper just falls. And it was cool in theme. So I thought, oh, that's neat. So things like that. I like. Yeah.
We're going to have a few people on the podcast that have some of those different characters and things like that. So that'll be fun to talk to them about that. And
for sure.
Why
for
they
sure.
Chose it. But it is. Yeah. It definitely makes the room so much cooler.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So what's next? What happens from here on out now? You guys are back in Florida.
We are back in Florida in Destin. I'd never even heard of Destin until Tina's like, there's a job opening and I want to check it out. So we're in Destin, which is in the panhandle of Florida, which is weird because we're in Central Time.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say. In Central Time.
We were Eastern.
I'm in Eastern now.
Yeah, and you're in Indiana, which is like above us. It's just strange. Yeah. But you were in Central in Illinois, and we always had this hard time because Chris and I have done podcasting for the past 5 years in the summer camp industry. And so it was always like, oh, you're Central time, I'm Eastern time. What time is that when we're going to podcast? And now it's flipped. And it's
the other day, you were like, hey, we need to record one morning. And does 8 o'clock Eastern time work for you? I'm like, it works for me, but that's your 7 a.m.
And I'm thinking, wait, no, that's my 9 a.m. Oh, you're right. It's 7. Oh, my goodness. So we are in Destin and we are going to open a new escape room business. That's something we talked about our whole trip and kind of felt that trip was our research phase, seeing what we like, what we don't like. And right now we're looking at a location, a building, and kind of going through the process. There's a lot of permits and everything that we have to go through. Will that be the location we end up with? Not sure. Hopefully, but we want to stay in Destin. So
now, does Destin have really touristy area? Like the fun spot was you had a lot of people walk by and stuff. And
they do. Well, they have what's called Harbor Walk. I guess that would be the equivalent, not like a fun spot. There's no rides or anything else, but it's right on the harbor, and there's restaurants and little things like that to do. There is an escape room business there, but it's spread out. But it is, Destin is very touristy. A lot of people come here during the summer for vacation. Then there's the slow time, right? Just nothing's going on, and we'll have to rely on the local population, which is awesome. But it's a very beachy community. And other than that, we're looking to do the escape room business. We're starting this podcast, you and I. I am starting a blog just kind of on the business and design side of escape rooms, and creating games and maybe things like our bags, escape room bags, and that type of stuff. I have those available. We'll see. We now have the four rooms we're going to do. We're going to do four rooms in this location. So we know what those are going to be. And now it's get the location, do all the sets, and get the puzzles and open up. So
how long do you think that'll take to finally be open? What's your guesstimate on?
I feel like at the earliest would be like 6 months, and then latest, hopefully like a year. So it's a process.
It's a lot of work.
That's why we originally wanted to do what Tina did before, which is buy an existing location and then put our spin on it and that type of thing. But there are no locations around here that are looking to sell. So we're going to have to start from scratch, which is fine.
That's interesting, because I just saw in Indiana there is a place for sale. I don't know. It's not quite Destin, but it's closer to me.
I think you should get in the business.
Oh, you think so? I don't know if you know what camp directors make, but I am nowhere near.
That's why you need a little side gig. Get a nice loan and do that. I
also realize how much time it takes to be a camp director.
I do. I do. You've got no time. I get it.
That's right. No, that's exciting. I cannot wait. As soon when you're open, we're going to be planning a trip to come down and check it out.
Sure. Yeah. We're excited about it. Tina will keep her day job, and I will run the business until hopefully it makes enough where she doesn't have to rely on her job. But who knows? I think that's going to take a second location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To that point, if any of the listeners want to find out more about you or reach you or check out your blog or any of that stuff, where should they go?
Right now, go to Facebook. You go to our Facebook page, which is Mystery Soup Games, and any updates on the business and what I'm doing, I'll post there, and you can see all of our awards, which Escape Rooms got Glitter Duck Awards, and you can read about our trip as well. And then other than that, on this podcast, I'll keep you updated.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And what's our plan with this podcast? How many are we doing? Week, month, year?
we're doing weekly shows. Okay. And I think we have
Tuesday, no, Wednesday,
like 20 or 30 people scheduled to be on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which day? Because that's always a fun thing. Editing these, it takes time. It takes about 3 hours of editing time per episode. Maybe a little less, but that includes like the show notes, uploading, all of that stuff. So I'd like to say Tuesdays, but I don't want to be held to that. We'll see. Yep, just excited about this. Hopefully y'all will tune in, put this on your favorites.
Especially next week. Episode 2.
Especially next week, where we get to learn all about Chris.
It's going to be amazing. It's just going to be, your mind will be blown. Or bored. One of the
or
other.
You just, you know what? You might want to just skip.
Skip it. Go right on to three.
We'll go to three.
Love it.
All right, man. No, thanks. Thanks for doing this. And thanks for being my co-host on this
Always.
Journey.
I mean, it's fun to talk escape rooms. So.
It is fun to talk escape rooms. Yeah. All right. All and right. You've got like a little outro. Let's hear it.
All right, this has been Kurt and Chris. Thanks for tuning in to Mystery Soup. Until next time, may your clues be clear and your escapes be triumphant. Keep puzzling, my friends.
See ya.
Mystery Soup. Mystery Soup.